Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. We do thank you for Mary's life and thank you for her family being here and supporting her. Lord, I ask you to bless her day. And Lord, now I ask you to bless your word, the preaching of your word. I pray you speak to each and every heart that's here. I pray each one here is aware of your presence here today. And whatever their need is, Lord, I pray you meet that need. And we will thank you for what's going to take place in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, that's a powerful verse in the Bible, and it's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It kind of has the gospel in a nutshell, but also it's the key to living the victorious Christian life as well. If I could get Christians to understand this one thing particularly, to fully understand this verse, and what an impact I believe it would have on your life, what it would have on the church as a whole, what that impact would have on the community, and then ultimately the world. A lot of times we talk about this. We talk about a Christ-centered life. But I wanted us to understand this, and I was at a dinner, and this other fellow mentioned this, and it stuck in my mind. And the reason I selected this verse or felt like God was leading me to preach this verse, is he talked about, you know, we also have to think about a cross-centered life, a cross-centered life. And Marion had put on the church sign out there this week. I think it's still out there, something to this effect. I don't know if I have it exactly straight. But he said this, it says, tired of your old life, well, God accepts trade-ins. If you're tired of your old life, God accepts trade-ins. And, you know, there's a truth there right now. You know, we don't need to rebuild our old self. Get a new paint job or get waxed and polished or rebuild our motors or put some additives in the gas and put some additives in the oil. What actually the people need, what the world needs is they need to trade their old life in and get a brand new life. And, if you don't think that you need a new life, I want to say this to you. You're not ready for Jesus Christ yet. You're not ready to accept Christ. But I want you to tell you this while you're thinking about that. You know, sometimes the old car is running down the highway pretty smooth. Everything seems like it's all right. And then all of a sudden, pow. Oh man, that thing's broke down. It's done. It's over with. And so think about that as we look at a few things in the verses today. One first thing I want you to see is the backward life. And I know that sounds odd. The title of the message might be a little odd to you. I want to pastor a dead church. You know, a lot of times we talk about, we got a dead church. I heard a fellow one time told a joke, said he had got invited. This is a true story. He got invited to preach at a church, and the church didn't have a baptistry, but they were building one, and they had the wall cut out right here. They were going to put a baptistry in. They already dug the hole. And this was the first time the guy was there, and he was kind of wanting to break the ice. Everybody's sitting there looking at him like you're looking at me, and he didn't know anybody, and he just was, you know, going to break the ice, tell a little joke at the start of it. And so he said, well, you know, I've heard about dead churches before and been in a dead church. He said, but I've never been in one where they already dug the grave out there, you know, in the back. He said, nobody laughed. Everybody just sitting there looking at him. And he said that they never invited him back either. They didn't invite him to come back. But a lot of times we talk about, you know, having a dead church. Boy, you know, and I always say, on the one hand, I don't want to pastor a dead church in the spiritual sense, but I do want to pastor a dead church. And when I get done with the message, I hope that it'll make sense to you this morning. But anyway, I want to see the backward life. And I think a lot of times as Christians or even as a church or even people in the world some people that have really been saved have gotten some things backwards. You know, we talk about not having a dead church and boy, this is what we need to do. And you wonder about things. In every church, there's people that are in different positions. Like I said about Mary. Mary was a faithful church member, is a faithful church member, and would be here all the time if she could drive and get around like she did. But boy, I mean, there's some folks that are like that, man. They're there at Sunday school. They're there at Sunday morning. They're there at Sunday night. They're there Wednesday night. And then there's some folks that never get any farther than just coming on Sunday morning. And there's some folks that never get, they're faithful there, but they never really do much else. Just different levels of involvement, those type things. And the pastors, see, we're always trying to get people to be more spiritual, and we're trying to get you to get excited and get fired up about the things of God and read your Bible and pray, and we're trying to get you to do those things. And we're pulling our hair out and pulling our teeth out, and we're trying to do, and we say, what do I got to do? Man, I got to do this and do that and do that. I used to say, boy, if I gave $100 bills out on Sunday night, I bet I'd have the same crowd I always got. Huh, if we gave out, somebody's going to say, try it, preacher, try it. And see, but, you know, we try to get it. But what it is we really get it backwards. We really get it backwards. Because what we're doing, we're trying to get the people to do what a spirit-filled, born-again, healthy Christian would naturally do. When many have not, you know, they haven't been or not healthy Christians. You try. Let me explain to you this way. You know, when you take kids, you don't have courses on how to play. I mean, Nate, did you ever go somewhere and like they've got a little course at school on teaching you how to play? They didn't. Mom and Daddy didn't say, okay, birds and the bees, and then you probably ain't got that yet. But and then we're going to teach you how to play. They didn't teach you how to play, did they? You just know how to do it, don't you? You just go out there. You just all you kids, right? We don't take kids, healthy kids. Healthy kids just go out and play, right? Now, a kid gets sick, what's he want to do? That's when you know something's wrong with your kid, right? When your kid don't want to go out and play, they don't want to watch TV, they lay in it, there's something wrong with them when they don't want to do anything. You getting the picture here? Huh? See, and the problem, and what we do is we don't say, okay, look, you're not well. So what you need to do is you need to run outside and play, and then you'll get well. That don't work. That's not how we do it. And see, what we're doing is with Christians, we're trying to get Christians or people that are saved or people in churches to act like real healthy Christians, spirit-filled Christians. We're trying to get them to go out and play and do the things that healthy, spirit-filled Christians do when they're not healthy in spirit. And that's not going to work. See, we've got it all backwards. We set up courses, a 4, 5, 6-step program to follow to be more like Christ, how to experience God. How's that working out? It's not working out because what's happened is we don't have a healthy Christian to start with. We're not going to go out and get them to do what healthy Christians naturally do. You know, we're trying to get disinterested church members to do what they don't want to do instead of developing healthy Christians who will do those things because it just comes naturally. It just comes naturally. That's the problem today. See, so sometimes you look at yourself, you know, you're the one that knows, like when you get sick, you're the first one to know, right? You're the one that knows that you don't feel right. You're the first one to know. But after a while, everybody else can see it too. And see, so everybody, now you got to examine yourself. Say, well, you know, what is my problem? What is my problem from the Christian standpoint if you are a Christian? You look at the Pharisees of Jesus' day. Listen to these guys right here. This would be a pastor's dream. They studied the Scriptures. They attended the house of God faithfully. They prayed. They tithed. They lived separated lives. They sought to win others to Judaism, which is what they were in, the Pharisees right there. This is a pastor's dream. This is what pastors are trying to get church members to do all over the world today. We're trying to get the church members to come back. We're trying to get you to read your Bible. We're trying to get you to pray. We're trying to get you to tithe. We're trying to get you to go win others to Christ. That's what we're trying to do. These guys were doing it. You getting this now? You got it? They were doing it. They would have been a pastor's dream in a church today. But listen to this. Jesus said in Matthew 5:20, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Man, you mean we got to do more than what the Pharisees were doing to get into heaven? No, you don't have to do anything to get into heaven other than trust Jesus Christ. Huh? You're not going to work your way into heaven. But I want to say right here, here was their problem. There was no love for God in their heart. That was what the Pharisees' problem. They did all the things that they're supposed to do. They had see, this is what I don't want. And in this sense here, I don't want to pastor a dead church. I don't want you coming in here like a robot, you know, walking in on Sunday morning at 11:01 or 2 or whatever. Baptists show up late usually, but sit down, and then we're going to stand up and sing and sit, and stand up and sing and sit, and stand up and get the offering, and we got everything down to a little system, and at 12:05, I'm done. And then you go right out the door the same way. And you got it down to a system. So you could faithfully do that at every service and still not have a relationship with Christ. No love for God in your heart. That's what the whole Pharisaic problem was. No work of grace in her life. No Holy Spirit dwelling within. One doctor, a psychologist, said this. It's easier to lead people to engage in an action than it is to lead them to act from a Christian motivation. You know, Johnny, you better go out and play. You're going to get a whipping if you're going to go if you don't go out and play. How many times you got to tell a kid that? Huh? They're usually begging you to go out and play. Healthy kid. A healthy Christian, listen, you don't have to beg them to do the things that God said would flow out of their heart. You know, it just flows out of their heart if everything's okay. But that scary part is these actions, the Pharisaic actions, have deceived multitudes into thinking that everything, that there's something that they're not. People say this a lot of times. Well, you know, the churches down there are full of hypocrites. Hypocrites means play actors. They're right. They're right. Churches are full of play actors. They're acting like something that they're really not. Now, I'm not telling you that. So I'm never going back down there because I don't want the guy to say I'm being... No, that's not the goal here. The goal here is to say, hey, you know what? I got to get healthy. I've got to get right with Christ. I've got to get saved. I've got to be born again. I've got to have the Spirit of God dwelling in my heart, man. And then it'll all click in. The Apostle Paul wrote this verse. He at one time was a Pharisee. He knows what he's talking about. He was a Pharisee. But now he says, look what he says. He said, I am crucified with Christ. That didn't mean he was literally crucified in the with his physical body at the time. But what he meant was that old Pharisee was dead because that had been crucified with Christ. Now I want you to see something here about the crucified life. Second point, Douglas MacArthur said this. He said, in war there is no substitute for victory. See, we're living in a society today that promotes tolerance, acceptance, compromise, coexistence. That's what the world says that we got to do today. But instead of of Christians now, we're becoming politicians, expert in the art of almost saying something. We have a straightforward way of dodging the issue. In the Word of God, there's no middle ground. See, everybody falls into these categories. You're either lost or you saved. There's no in between. You're either right or wrong. There's no gray area there. There's heaven or hell. There's not a third position. You're either crucified with Christ or you are not. It's simple. We're to be crucified to the world, not compromised with the world. The Bible says this, that a friend of the world is the enemy of God. The Bible calls the backsliders adulterers and adulteresses. That's pretty strong language. I said a couple weeks ago, they talk about there's a word, this term, it's not actually a true term. We hear this term, a phrase, worldly Christians. There's no such thing as worldly Christians. We might as well say that there's heavenly heathens. There's no heavenly heathens, right? There's no worldly Christians. There's just not as many Christians as everybody thinks there is. That's what the issue is. We've tried to work out a peace treaty with the old nature, that self that Paul said he crucified the old self. But we keep him around and we bring him out every now and then. The Bible says, make no provision for the flesh. My pastor, when I got saved, he used to say this, who in the world would drag a dead body around behind them everywhere they went? I mean, you know, it doesn't sound good, does it? If the flesh is crucified, why keep it around? Crucify the old man. The old man's crucified with Christ. He's dead. Why keep that around? We try to work out a peace treaty with the old flesh. Just keep him around a little bit and he won't get me into too much trouble. But that's not what... Listen, in war, there's no substitute for victory. There's kind of... I got this little thing I saw as four levels of Christianity. And I looked at it and I said, well, everybody probably falls into one of these areas right here. You can evaluate self-evaluation, I guess. Four levels of Christianity if you are a Christian. Number one is a lot of me and a little of you, God. A lot of me and a little of you, God. You know, how do you know if you're there? I heard a guy preach this one time. How do you know if you're in that level right there? Well, let me ask you, you're there if you get easily offended. You're there if you get easily offended. I had sort of saw a fellow preach a message like this one time. He talked about it. You know, a dead man. You can't hurt a dead man's feelings. Huh? You can go up there and call him all kind of names. He's just laying there dead, right? You know, you can rough him up and don't hurt him, right? If you're crucified with Christ, how can your feelings get hurt? Yes, he said, I'm dead. Look what Paul said. Look how he wrote it. In Galatians chapter 2:20, he said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Then he says, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said, listen, I'm dead. You can't hurt my feelings. Huh? If your feelings get hurt easily, it's a lot of me and a little of you, God. The second thing is some of me and some of you, God. You fall into this category if you do things like this. God, I'll do this for you if you do this for me. The third category is a little of me and more of you, God. And that's when you fall into that category when you say, well, you know what? There's just a few areas of my life that I can't let go of. I'm going to give you a lot. But there's some rooms I'm not going to let you in. There's a piece of my heart I'm not going to let you have. There's just a few areas I'm not going to let you get a hold of. You're falling into that category right there. And a lot of Christians are in that area right there. Probably more Christians in that area in the number three than any other place. And then the fourth one is none of me and all of you, God. Paul said, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Which brings us to the third point, to Christ's life. Paul said, I'm dead, yet I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I told my Sunday school class that we was going to get to a point that we talked about it briefly. This is it for you guys right there. You know, a lot of times we say this. We say, you know, I want to be more like Christ. Or we used to use this term, and this is not really a correct term. We say, well, I want to reflect Christ. I want people to see Christ in me. We do want people to see Christ in us, but we don't want to reflect Him, and I'll tell you why. Because if I reflect something, if I reflect a light, that means the light is over here, and I'm over here, and the light is shining from over there onto me. If I'm reflecting Christ, that means Christ is over there, and Christ's light is reflecting on me, and you're seeing it that way. But that's not what He said. Listen, He said, I'm dead, and Christ liveth in me. When Christ is in me, the light shines from out. That Christ's life shines from, you're seeing Christ. Now, I'm not saying you're not seeing Christ in the sense that I'm Christ or the person that's filled with Christ, but you see Christ living His life out in you. In you. That's the difference right there. And you know, Paul said this, he said, Christ liveth in me. When Christ lives in us, then everything that comes out is Christ, not us, because we have been or supposed to have been crucified. And it's not, you know, we don't need a lot more activities. Boy, you know, like I said, you know, sometimes people look at, they're trying to get healthy the wrong way. You know, I'm just going to start doing some Christian activities and therefore, that'll make me, and I'm not telling you, you know, read your Bible by all means. Read your Bible and pray, draw close to God. But we start thinking, I'm just going to do some actions and that in of itself is going to make me well or make me better. We need the imputed, imparted, implanted righteousness of Christ Himself. Listen, you can look within yourself till you're blue in the face and the only thing you're honestly going to see is corruption. There's nothing within us. Paul said, in me there is no good thing. There's no good thing. But now if you're crucified with Christ and Christ lives in you, now it's that righteousness. That's right. That's the only goodness. That's the only righteousness that we're going to see. It's the righteousness of Christ. And it's exactly what the Pharisees did not have. And a lot of church folks today as well, listen, don't have. The Lord said if we abide in Him, And he in us, He said this. He said, we will produce much fruit. You know, I always wondered, I used this illustration before. I used to have an old, where we lived, we had an apple tree, and we had a pear tree too at one time, but it finally died. But and you know how you know a pear tree is a pear tree? You know, I know, basically, I don't know my trees that well. I can kind of tell you those, but if you don't know, you know when the fruit comes out. You know, if it's got pears, it's a pear tree, and if it's got apples, and you ever, I mean, other than killing the tree, when the tree's growing and in the spring, when they start to bud,
How are you going to stop them apples from coming out on an apple tree or pears on it? And what are you going to do? You can't. It's like, you know, you can't stop it. You can go out there and curse at it, and you can, you know, whatever you want. Other than physically doing something, you can't stop it. It comes out. It's natural. It's natural. Like those kids playing. It's natural. A person that has been crucified with Christ, a person that's born again, truly born again, listen, it's an impossibility for the Holy Spirit of God to dwell in you and there not be a dynamic, I mean a dynamic change in your life. I'm not saying you'll be perfect. We got, you know, that old crucifying the old flesh takes a little effort on our part. I'm not saying you'll be perfect, but I'm saying there's something that's going to happen. It's like you can't stop them apples from coming out of that apple tree, and you can't stop a born-again Christian from being like Christ to some degree in their life, and that fruit will come out. They'll go out and play. It'll come out natural. They'll be healthy. They'll want to do it. You can't stop it. Man, it's an impossibility. The Holy Spirit of God dwelling in your life. Listen, and Paul didn't write any of this in regret, I'm going to tell you. He didn't write it in regret. Man, listen, he was loving his life. Man, I mean, he looked at that old life and he saw what he had been and what he was. And he was looking at this life thinking, man, this is the life right here. The result of the Christ life is not a self-effort action. In that sense, I said a few minutes ago, listen, you know, That's the church I want to, the dead church I want to pastor. I want to pastor a church where the people in the church, the Christians have been crucified. They're dead to their self. And now it's Christ that lives within. That sense is the dead church that I want to be the pastor of as well. Well, I want to say this, and I didn't preach real long. I didn't want to go too long, but how am I crucified with Christ? And how can Christ live in me? How, you know, you told us what we're not and what we ought to be. Well, how we get to it? Well, the answer is right there in the last little part of Galatians 2:20. He said, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. By the faith of the Son of God. Man, listen, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, listen, that means that he, you know, I told our church a few weeks ago when I was back in the 60s and 70s, you'd see these signs. I didn't know what they meant. And we'd say, Jesus is the answer. Y'all remember seeing those? Jesus is the answer. I used to think, I was a smart aleck. I'd ride along and say, the answer to what? Everything. The answer, I found out, he's the answer to everything. See, when we put our faith in Christ, listen, if he's living and we're dead, then everything, listen, where we go, what we say, how we look, what we do, it's all directed, guided by Jesus Christ living in us. Man, listen, he always obeyed the Father. He always did the Father's will. I mean, everything Jesus did, it was related to God. And man, what a life he lived. That self-righteous, self-centered, self-enthroned life dies. That's the battle. Listen, for those of you that have been saved a long time, listen, here's the battle for you every day. It's you and self. You remember the old cartoons when they had a little angel sitting on the guy's shoulder? Remember those? And a little devil on this one? And one would be whispering in his ear and the other one, and the guy would be like going back and forth. If you've been saved any amount of time, you know you don't see no little angel sitting on your shoulder. At least I don't. If you do, that may be another thing. That's the battle in your life. Am I going to do what God wants me to do, or am I going to do what I want to do? You know it. Just break it down far enough and you'll see that's what you battle with every day. Am I going to do what God wants me to do? Am I going to do what I want to do? You're battling with yourself. I'll tell you how to win the battle. I'll tell you how to get the victory. Just crucify the old self and then Christ will live and the old devil will be off that shoulder and you'll have, and all you'll hear is God talking to you and you do everything God wants you to do. Amen? I mean, that's how you get the victory right there. Kill him. Kill him. He didn't make say work out a compromise. Work out a deal with the flesh or the world or the devil or anything else. Crucify it. Crucify it. Man, that's it. Listen, if I got a problem, listen, you know, you got cancer. You don't compromise with cancer. Let's work out a little peace treaty. I'll keep you around. No, man, I'll tell you what, if I got it, I want it all. Gone. Did the doctor cut it out? You know, take it away. Get rid of it. You don't work out a deal with that. Yield to Jesus Christ. Yield to Jesus Christ. Can we do it in our own strength? Uh-uh. Can't do it. You can't say, you know what, this is another thing. You can't say, man, I'm just going to do it.
In your own strength, you can't. Huh? You know, God, listen, you can't even get the faith. God has to give you the faith. God has to give you the strength. It's done by faith in the Son of God. And when what happens by faith is Jesus Christ releases divine power into the life of the Christian. That divine power in the life of a Christian. And listen, if He loved us, and He did, He loved us enough to die for us, then also He loves us enough to empower us to live His life, that He would live through us. I always say when I pray now, I heard a guy say it at the prayer advance a couple years ago. I told y'all about it, most of the church about it, but he said this. He said, Lord, love someone through me today. Man, I said, what an awesome prayer. Love someone through me. You know, that's Christ. You know, there's a lot of unlovable from the human standpoint. There's a lot of unlovable people out there in the world, and truth be known, we were probably some of them at one time in our life, you know, but Jesus Christ loved us, you know, and He loved us through people too. He loved us through people. And so He died for us. Listen, He loves us enough to live out His life in you as well. Why not come and exchange your old life for the life of Christ? How do I do that? Just ask. You have not because you ask not. You ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin. You ask Him to come into your life. And you say, Lord, I need to crucify the old flesh. I need that crucified. I don't have the strength to do it myself. You know, God, can you do it? Listen, He can live out His life in you. What a dynamic. And that'll solve your problems. Listen, for the Christians, folks, or folks that you think you're saved, and for some reason, no, you can say, look, you know, I'm not a healthy Christian. I'm not doing what healthy Christians ought to do. I'm not bearing fruit. You know, if you got an old apple tree out in the yard, and I don't know if you got one, and somebody says it's an apple tree, maybe at one time it produced some fruit, but now it don't produce fruit after year after year after year, and you want an apple tree. I mean, you want fruit. What are you going to do with that apple tree? You're going to cut her down, man, and get you another one. I mean, something's wrong with it. I had that pear tree. I said I used to have a pear tree. I tell you what happened. One time it didn't give no pears for a couple of years. Finally withered up and died. I said, something's wrong with that tree. Of course, I cut it down. When it died, I found out what the problem was. In the center of it was a big old hole like this, and it's full of ants. On the inside was the problem. See, the problem wasn't on the outside. I couldn't see it. I'm going to tell you what our problem. Our problem's on the inside. Huh? Our problem's on the inside. Only God can take care of that problem. And for the Christians, listen, when we die to self and we yield to Christ and we're living the Christ life, I'm going to tell you what, you'll naturally do all those things I've been begging you to do. Huh? I won't even be able to stop you from doing them. You'll just naturally do what comes naturally because you're living the Christ life. In other words, He is living in you. Amen. Let's all stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're here today and you're not sure about your salvation, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to come down to the altar. And we normally have a lot of people come to the altar, and I'm not sure what everybody comes for. A lot of folks I know have made professions. But if you know you're lost, you get my attention. I'll show you what the Bible says. Listen, it's faith. I can't do a thing for you, only Jesus Christ. Asking Him, confessing, repenting, turning back to God, confessing that you're a sinner. And that there's nothing you can do for yourself, and there's nothing you can do for yourself. Only God can do it. If you're here and you're saved, and once again, you just haven't crucified the old flesh, you know, talk to God about it. Listen, give it to Him. He'll take care of the problem. See, if that don't cure what ails you, it'll cure the problems that you have in living the Christ life that you're struggling with now. Whatever God's laid on your hearts, you come to the altar and pray, and...